online podcast number 95, I think. Yeah, 95. Hello, hello, welcome to a Thursday online podcast. How are y'all doing? Today we are actually going to talk about coming out. And we have two very special guests who stayed from Monday. And we have Simon from Florida and Tigger from LA, and we're going to talk about coming out and also about how gay voices are being heard right now loud and clear, and we can speak our mind and actually have audience because we don't have to go through any filters anymore. The only filters is the good thing, is the filter that make your voice sound really good. So welcome Simon from Florida and Tigger from LA.
Hi everybody. Hi, John.
Welcome back. Oh, my God. This is actually, I love interaction. You know, I mean, the people say that, oh, my gosh, you can really talk. And I can. It took a long time, but it's never as fun as when you actually have interaction like this. But, of course, you know, this is so much better. Don't you think? Is the audio quality okay for all of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds very good.
This is really good. Welcome, welcome. And we have a fresh 30 minutes to talk about coming out. So let's share. First of all, if you don't mind, your age. If you don't want to tell us your age, just skip that. If you don't mind, just tell us your age and tell us about like what year you came out or like how old you were. Should I start?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I am 31, about to turn 32 next, well, not about, but next March I'll be 32. So I'm 31, I came out when I was 20, oh holy crap, I have to count. I've been with my partner for 7 years, so that makes it, Jesus, I cannot count. I think I'm 24, to the end of 24, and, you know, at the very, like, in December, I came out on Christmas Eve. Oh my God, you're stinky.
Wow.
Oh, Chai just farted, and it was stinky. Holy
faith. There are so many bodily functions going on in podcasts, more than like any other kind of...
You know what? We are introducing human back into audio productions, you know?
Yes, we are.
All this while, you never hear all this, like, you know, crap. When you look at Brad Pitt, how hot he is... Oh, Jesus. Have you ever thought about him crapping? You know, taking a crap? And that's not too hot anymore. Or maybe it is hot to some people, but I don't want to judge.
Everybody crap.
But anyway, exactly. I think I came out when I was 24. That sounds about right. Maybe 23? Christ, I don't know. 1998. No, 1997. So that I was born in 74. So I was 23, sorry. So I was 23. And I'll go into detail about, you know, who, how, what, when, where, blah, blah. And now pass the torch to the next person who wants to talk about how old they are and when they came out. So I guess I'm out about 8 years, 7, 8 years.
Wow. I guess I feel like the old one. I'm 37, and I came out in 1988. I was 20 years old, I live out here, as most of you know already, I live here in Los Angeles, and it was hard. It was hard when I came out, because I was in a relationship with a girl, because I just knew I did not want to be gay, and I was going to do everything I could not to be gay, and I did all the telling yourself that you were and you weren't, and I just finally realized that the only way I was going to be happy in my life was to come out, and I did, and it was not that easy. It was easy in the fact that I live in California, and it's much easier to be gay here in California, I think, than most of the nation, especially in Los Angeles, because we have such a huge gay community out here. But you know, I don't think it's ever easy for anyone. It's a totally personal experience, and everyone is different. So I'm going to pass it on to Simon.
Well, I'm 28, and I came out about, let's see, February this year.
Wow,
congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. You know, it really is something to be congratulated. And, yeah, it's such a big thing.
And I was in much of the same situation that Tigger was. I probably more extreme. I'm actually married.
Mm-hmm.
And have
kids.
Two monkey boys, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so there was a whole lot.
Wow, thank you for sharing that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it was, boy, I don't even know how to get into it all.
We will eventually. I mean, you don't have to. And what I want to say is, welcome, everyone. This is Wanda Wisdom. Don't we sound like Wanda Wisdom now? The show is turning into Wanda Wisdom show. Maybe I should play the theme song. Let's see if I can find it. Because I sang the theme song. Maybe I have that. But anyway, it is such a... It's a, such a hard thing to go through. And I'm glad that we have, you know, various different background, among the three of us. You know, everyone has a slightly different background and how they came out and which state do you, come out? You know, do you come out from the very early age? Now, I did not. I also did. Well, I dated a girl also. It is also through her that I came out, because growing up being in Malaysia, in an Asian country, in a Catholic Chinese family, so that's like double, triple whammy right there. And I, you know, sexuality is something that you never talk about, you know, it's like, you just keep quiet. So you don't talk about that. I actually had a little bit of a gay encounter when, obviously, I was in a boys' school. Well, nothing too big, but it was, you know, attraction, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, you know, I brush it off. I don't want to think about it. And then when I went to college, I actually dated a girl, and I enjoy hanging out with her, and she was falling for me. I thought I enjoy spending time with her like a fag hag, you know, not as a girlfriend. And so it didn't work that way, you know. She would expect me to hold her hands. I would actually just, let's just go shop, you know. So it didn't work out. It didn't work out that way. And so actually through her that I found myself, or actually kind of have to admit to myself that, you know, you're either going to get another person involved or you quit now or stop lying to yourself and actually be happy. And I cannot tell you how much of a weight that came off of my chest for the last 20-some years. And all of you, I'm sure, can relate to this. And I, you know, I do have straight listeners. And I want all the straight people out there who listen to my... You know, if you're listening to the show, if you haven't hated it, you haven't, you know, hated it yet, you probably have a little bit more knowledge. Because I do know straight people who are accepting, but they don't go into conversations like this. And that's why I think when podcast comes into the picture, it really gives a lot of people, gay people, straight people, more of something that you don't discuss in the general, you know, on the radio station or on TV. You never talk about that in depth and that seriously in Will and Grace. I mean, you know, so, or nor do you do that on, what is that, Queer Guy for the Straight Guys? No, Queer Folks, what is that called? Queer Eye for the Straight Guys, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was all like you, John. I was really, you know, I was really worried about her because I thought, you know, and, you know, don't take this the wrong way, Simon, but my biggest fear was to get married and have children and then be in that situation. And that's what I didn't want. And I didn't think it was fair to her, and it wasn't fair to me. But I felt it was hard to break up with her, and because I loved her. I loved her as a really deep friendship, and I enjoyed being with her. I loved being with her, but I just knew I couldn't love her the way that she needed to be.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I would love to hear more from Simon, if you're comfortable talking about it, but you don't have to, because I think everybody
fine. I mean, I've I've talked about it so much over the past, I don't know, how long ago is February? 8 months now? Something like that.
February, yeah.
You know, I've had to tell this, I've had to talk about it so much that it's pretty routine now, but
Did it feel cathartic for you? Because I remember when I came out, I kind of wanted to tell everyone I was gay. You know, I'm gay. And
yeah,
most people.
It was kind of hard to hold it back. I mean, it was like, okay, who really, you know, so what? So I'm gay. Who's going to really care about this? Well, some people will. You know, it's kind of.
It definitely makes it harder when you are married and with kids, also, doesn't it?
Exactly.
There's more people involved.
You don't have just like your mom and dad. You have a whole other set of family.
Yeah, that's true. And the people around them, those are the worst thing. It's not as hard to talk to the person as actually see how the person are being treated by other people around them.
Well, like I said, I was really scared out of my wits to do it, but it had gotten to a point where there was nothing sexual going on at all.
Yeah.
You know, she had to have known something was up because we had just been slowly over the months just been growing farther and farther apart in that physical kind of sense. I still felt a great love for her and a great respect for her. And I think, you know, that's partially why I had to do it also, because if I do love her enough, if I do respect her enough, she needs to know the truth.
Yeah.
So.
You did the right thing, Simon.
Yeah. It's well, fair for you. It's
it doesn't
fair
feel
for her.
Like it now, but it you did the right thing.
It does. Well, it does feel like it now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has been long enough, and we've gotten into more of a routine now. They've since moved out, of course.
And your two boys too.
Yeah, but it's very amicable.
Oh,
I think that you hear horror stories all the time about divorce and things like that. Gone horribly wrong where you know,
did she feel a sense of relief, like, well, you know, it wasn't me, this is what was going on, or was it, I don't want to get too personal.
I did have a sense of relief. Well, it came in phases. It was like first a sense of complete, like someone had cut the chains off the armor that was like on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And just
that
like
weight that John talked about.
I was like light. You know, it was it was amazing. And then there was a sudden drop off, like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, and then it comes back up again and it sort of keels off and you realize that we're all human beings, and we all make mistakes, and we don't sometimes know how we're hardwired, and some people more than others. It takes a long time to figure out who you are.
And also, timing, too, is very crucial. I think some people would probably jump into the conclusion that, why did you do that? You know that you're gay, and why did you, you know, wait until this long. Everybody's different. I think what we're lacking in the society, especially this one that right now, is compassion. I mean, you know, throw away compassionate conservatism, whatever crap they call it. If you're truly compassionate, you do not judge. I think it is so hard to judge. I mean, if you go through this yourself, that's why I think some people. Who I think people who has gone through things, you know, oppression being the minority, you know, gay or your skin color. If you haven't gone through that, you don't really know what it is. I respect people who respect people who's gone through oppression and all that discrimination, but frankly, you do not get it until you were there yourself. So
yes.
I just think that people need to be, and for us going having gone through that, it made my life change entirely. I've stopped judging people, no matter what it is.
That's a very good point. I think you really do, really, you know, when you are oppressed, you really have sympathy and empathy for others.
Yeah, no matter what that form of oppression might be, I think it just makes you more compassionate. So those people who is, you know, talking about, oh, let's, you know, be compassionate, blah, blah, all those crap. If you, yeah, most people who are singing it loudly in the choir or belting it out do not know exactly what that is.
Yes.
Which is very, you know, if you turn on the TV, you know, White House press conference, you see that. I don't want to get too political.
Right. You know, Simon, there is a podcast, if I may plug a little podcast, John.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
And the only reason I'm saying this is because it's andyandbobsworld.com. And the only reason I'm telling you this is because he is a gay father of two boys.
Oh, really?
And, yes. And he came out, I think, about the same time, about 7 years ago when John did. And he has two boys. He was married. He has gone through everything that you have gone through. And he talks about it quite a bit.
Wow.
on his podcast. And he's from Portsmouth in the United Kingdom. So you get this whole other feel of someone in a different country. But, you know, everything you've said and everything I've listened to what Bob has said, very similar. Probably we might want to check him out.
What is it called again? That. Bob and some what?
Andy and Bobsworld.com. There you go.
Yeah, I've seen okay, it around. Good. I haven't yeah. got to listen to
and
it.
And he actually has a podcast of his own coming out story that was read by his former lover who passed away. And it was a really beautiful podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bob wrote it, but his former lover read it. And they recorded it, and he passed away, I think, a few years ago, but a great story.
Wow.
About being married, knowing you're gay, you know, and going through everything you've gone through, Simon. I'm sure you and him could probably share a lot you have a lot in common.
Yeah.
So Andy and BobsWorld.com.
Good plug. If you don't see the show notes, the link on the show notes means I'll try to remember it. But if I don't, can you go put it on the comment and I'll add that to the show notes?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean it's the same thing. And he really, you know, it's very compelling what he went through. And you know, luckily his children were very accepting and his wife was very accepting and his mm-hmm. family was too. After all was said and done. I can't imagine going through what you went through, Simon. I can't.
Well,
I can't imagine having kids.
I have to say that props to her and her family and all of that because mm-hmm.
Yes.
It could have been bad. It could have been really bad.
Yeah, it could have been really, really nasty.
Especially mm-hmm. with children involved.
Yeah.
You know,
how old are your kids?
My kids are 5 and 4.
Mm. How are they taking? Do they understand the?
I don't think they understand really what's going on. The older one, you know, he understands that we live apart from each other now, and he's right on the ball. I mean, he doesn't. It's going to be hard to know when to bring up being gay.
mm-hmm.
I don't know. The other side of this is that her family is very Christian.
Okay.
And so it's kind of difficult to have these kind of meetings of you know, thinking the Christian way of thinking, they follow the Bible and they want to teach it, and obviously they take the kids to Sunday school and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they Catholic?
No.
Okay.
Really kind of non-denominational, but I guess you'd say Baptist or Methodist or mm-hmm. something like that.
Now, I was actually on the way home. No, finish your thought. Sorry.
So I do worry about that because kids are very impressionable, and to add that kind of confusion in there, I mean, who knows how they're going to take it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If they're being fed one thing, that, you know, well, the Bible says this about homosexuality, and yet this is what your father is.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit hard to swallow. I think about it all the time. I mean, that's really going to be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. How old are your children, Simon?
4 and 5.
I mean, they're really young still. They're 5 and 4.
Okay.
So it's kind of, you can't really even talk to them about regular sex.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just not something that they'll comprehend.
Do you have any resources to go to about you know, gay parenting or people in your situation from a divorce because of one parent or both parents being gay?
I'm sure there is. I have not had a moment to myself to even think about myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important that you,
just
Simon,
trying to figure out the living situation and figuring out all the details that go around it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there is. I mean, this is a pretty metropolitan area, and I'm sure that there must be some kind of support group or something out there. I've yet to really look into it.
Yeah, if there's anyone out there who knows, that write into me and I'll post it on the show. Because,
right,
you know, you never know who this podcast is going to reach to.
Right. And it's amazing that the I started a blog some time ago also when all this happened to try and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
To try and get it out in words.
Make it solid, make it concrete.
Make it concrete, mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, once you've committed it to words, and I totally don't believe in, I'm one of those blog writers that once I write it, I mean, it stays up there. I don't edit anything. So it's there in a concrete type of history, you know, something that I can look at for better, you know, or for worse. And when I started writing the blog, people started coming out of the woodwork. I mean, just telling me all their experiences, anonymously or not anonymously, you know,
mm-hmm.
emailing me and making comments. And I was flabbergasted just to see all of these different kinds of situations that are out there. It's in all shapes and forms, all of these relationships.
Yeah, you know,
and,
again, that goes back into judging,
well,
too.
We're everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess you could say that I really did, I was extremely naive about gay culture.
I was, too. When I was growing up, I thought that I was going to grow into a drag queen. Not that there's anything wrong with drag queens. I just thought that, you know, that was going to happen to me. I was going to blossom fake breasts, and I was going
to
wear dresses, and you know.
It's time to get my palms.
There you go. I learned that, you know, we are all so different in the gay community, just like every other community.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us so great, is that we come from all different walks of life. And like we said with podcasting, that's what's great, because it brings all our voices together. And we get to hear each other and hear each other's stories. And it just makes it into a greater voice.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the unplanned show turn out to be the best, like today. You know, unplanned stuff comes up perfect. And, you know, I was thinking while you guys were talking, I said, you know, here I am talking about not judging people, but I just, did I just judged when I say all these people who are judging people? Am I judging them for judging people? I think if you're judging people, if you're mean to begin with, I have the right to point that out. I don't say that, you know, you judge people because you are bad. They might come from an environment that make them think that way, but it's still whatever action that they're doing, it's still judgmental and just, you know, being mean and bad. When I talk about all those religious, the right wing. Now, I don't know about both of you. I'm a Christian myself, and I still consider myself a Christian. And you know, people always ask me about how do you make the reconcile. Yeah, how do you reconcile that? And I tell them it's not a checkbook. And my relationship with God and whichever religion I happen to, you know, find myself in, or you know kind of grew up Catholic. Once you're Catholic forever. Even though the bishop might not like me, well, I know the bishop doesn't like gay people for sure. Not this, the old one used to be. I shouldn't talk about that because I still sing for the diocese. I might get into trouble. Not that I want to get paid singing for them. I would not care less. But the people around me, the music directors and everybody that I work with, all are so good. And I see human. I see people. I don't see just the church. And I call me whatever. I'm very happy with the church that I'm in right now. I'm very proud of how good they are standing up for the gay voices in my church, even Catholic church. Wow. So I consider myself Catholic. I consider myself religious, but I still think that being spiritual is more important than being able to see human being rather than what they do or who they are is more crucial. I think if I listened to P.W. Fenton one day. He was talking about gay people, his gay friend. That was my chai messing with my stuff. He was talking about his gay friend. It's a very nice story. It was a coming out story, also very nice. Does anybody of you know P.W. Fenton? Do you remember that one? So I was very touched.
I don't listen to his show, but I've heard that one episode.
Oh, yeah. That was very good. And so I was very touched. I emailed him and I said, thank you for being, you know, thank you for seeing us gay people as human being and not a walking sin, you know? Some people just say, they look at you, if they know that you're gay, the only thing they can picture you is humping another guy or being humped.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think I talked about this before too. Do you ever go to a wedding, a straight wedding, and think about them humping in the church when they get wet, you know? Get married? Rarely. I don't think a lot of people do that. But when they think about gay marriage, the first thing they think about is sex. So right. I think it's very unfair and it's just separate qualities. Just, you know, if you're gay, we look at you with a different pair of spectacles.
Right.
Gosh, maybe I should send that bit in for a Madge's show.
There you go. There's your rant. Simon, PFLAG is another good organization. That's I went to a lot of PFLAG meetings when I came out. And it really helped me to hear parents, to hear family members, and to hear other gay people. And that's when I really realized that, you know, I felt better about myself, and I didn't feel like such a alien. Like, when you're coming out, you feel like you're the only one that's coming out. You're the only gay person in the world. That's how I felt. You know, I was sadly mistaken.
Yeah, I understand completely. Because it's like I can probably count the number of gay friends that I have, like, here in real life. Not online.
Not online friends.
I probably have maybe two.
Yeah, and
more,
in the also in that environment too. I mean, when you were married, were you family friends with the gay people? The gay friends
not
that
really,
you had?
Not at all.
Okay, so you pretty much have no gay friends when you were married.
Yeah, no, I didn't really have any connection with that side of anything. It was just.
Yeah. That's sad. Are you Christian? Does anybody, like both of you, does anyone, or actually all the listeners out there, this is one thing that I do not understand, that I actually almost going to do a segment for, not do a segment, but recording something for Madge, but I'm not going to now because I don't want to spend a lot of time. But what my question is, when did the church say anything about racial discrimination and the segregation period of time in America? I'm not from the USA, so I do not know. But can you both of you tell me what was the stand of the Christian, whatever the denomination is? What were their stand? Why didn't they call out? Why didn't they tell people not to discriminate? Or did they actually say anything? Do you guys know?
I don't think in the South they said anything. I think they almost...
Did the Bible say it's okay?
I think there's such a long social history there.
Mm-hmm.
That it goes beyond what the Christian values say. It kind of goes back to, I don't know, when did slavery start? I mean, you can...
Well, the Bible says slavery is okay, though.
Huh?
The Bible says slavery is okay.
Well, yeah.
Never say anything? Is that why they never... I did not understand, and kind of sort of angered me, actually, was that what was the church's stand? And I, being a Catholic, I'm not a very good Catholic, obviously, otherwise I would have known. Did the Bible say anything about racial segregation? Did the Bible say anything about racial discrimination? Is there any certain race? Go ahead.
I have to tell you that I grew up in a church that was not really concerned about those things. So it was non-denominational, and it did not... it wasn't Unitarian or anything like that, but it was it was mainly concerned with teaching about, you know, love unconditionally, you know, love your neighbor. It was pretty basic what it taught.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. I can't really say that they were too heavily enforcing of things of that nature.
In church, you don't talk about gay people, but
they never talked they never talked about it one way or another. I had no idea what being gay was.
Do you know anything about it, Tigger?
From my own experience, I grew up as a Southern Baptist, and they're not very gay friendly.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they hate everything.
Yeah. See,
I mean, everything is you're gonna go to hell. I mean, you're gonna go to hell on the end of it, and that's Southern Baptist. But in terms of racial,
uh-huh.
You know, again, I live in California, and it really is different out here. It's racial mixing so common out here, especially in Los Angeles, because it's so, we are an international city. I mean, there is just so many different, I have the largest Thai population in the nation, John, here in LA.
Sawadee Kap.
I live very close to Thai Town, too. Actually, I live in Koreatown. I live in a very large Korean neighborhood. So I in California, it's a little different, because that's one thing I've noticed in podcasts. People talk about all these things back east and where you live and homophobia. I don't see that so much out here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it is in Florida, but
it's pretty bad.
I'm fortunate, but LA, when you live in LA, you live in a bubble. It's really true. Sure. We are so different than the rest of the country.
That's what I was saying too.
For that being said, I don't think it's as bad as like the Midwest.
Yeah, okay. Listen to somebody from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Okay, here I am being Asian, yellow skin. But it's a very pretty hue of slightly pinkish yellow skin, actually. It's very nice. I have good complexion. Anyway, I have to say my encounters also come from who you are. I think you sort of you decide who you mingle with. And so most of my friends are okay, because if you're going to if you're not going to like me because I'm gay, screw you. So the people that I'm, like, I'm very lucky to have very supportive friends and family. And I also have bosses that might not necessarily share the same political view, but very respectful of me being a human being and being gay. So I don't want to go into too much detail and get fired. But but everything is good. What I'm trying to say is it might be bad, but I personally do not see it, but through, I've it's so easy to be so comfortable that you want to think that, everything is so good, and so you stop doing anything, and then the big majority of people in the country get discriminated against. Just look at the gay marriage thing. And you might have very supportive friends out there, but when it comes to gay marriage, they might not be on your side.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
So... yeah. You know what? We should end this show. It was such a good conversation. I want to go on.
But you got your bandwidth to think about there, John.
Oh, never mind. I just upped my bandwidth. I just upped like another 225 megabyte of... No, bandwidth is not a concern because I'm with Libsyn. Even though they like broke down the whole day today, if you try to download anything today, well, today
what
meaning
is wrong with Libsyn? What is every time I try to go on Libsyn, it's always down. Lip suck is what
now,
they should call
they,
it.
They might suck, but they're the only option. They're the best option right now that I have. Now, I don't want to not say that there are down times and there are bad times. But they've been pretty good with at least getting, well, for the last few times they've been kind of slacking because they have a lot more users now. But just, they are still improving, they're still learning, so I can kind of sort of see that. And
there must be some more of them out there.
Well, you're kind of stuck, too.
Doesn't she use PureCast Media or something?
Oh, I heard PureCast Media is worse, though.
Oh, it's worse?
I'm not sure, though. I don't use, so I don't want to judge. But, I'm pretty happy. I have got a whole lot more bandwidth is not an issue. It's the storage space, and I've got a whole lot more. So we can actually do an hour show, but I shouldn't because it actually bore people. I like to break them up into pieces, I think. That's probably better. So maybe we will do that again. If you guys want to hang out for a little longer, maybe we can do another show. I always do that. I've actually one time I recorded my other podcast, the Penang Hokkien podcast. I recorded straight 6 hours.
Oh my god.
With my friends. It was I finished like, oh my god, my phone card just ran out. I'll quickly go buy another one and do another, continue to do another two or three more shows. But I want to say thank you for sharing all your personal stories. I think if we have the opportunity to do that again, or maybe some update from Simon and see what's up maybe in the next month, next several months or year, if you're still listening
actually,
to this.
If you
may plug your blog.
Yeah, the blog is secretsimon.blogspot.com.
Okay. Secret Simon.
Oh, Andy and Bob is on Blogspot too. I just look andy-bob.blogspot.com.
Crap, I have a lot of notes to do.
I mean, and if you want the whole sordid story, it's there from the very beginning, actually.
Okay, let's go check out Simon's journey. I think I call it a journey. I have to say that the positive thing about one thing that it's probably next to there are three major great things that happened to my life. It's one is coming out. Second is my parents accepting us. It's not a given, but my parents just accepted us. I say us because not me and Bruce, though that too, but my brother is also gay. So,
both of us came out together.
It does happen among siblings.
We both came out together, so it was like a double whammy for my parents, but, instead of going the other direction of like turning away, she cried because she felt like we were all alone when we had to struggle with that. So it was very touching. So that is the second great thing. And then the third great thing is, of course, Bruce. So three great things that happened in my life. I don't know what I was going on with that, but I forgot. But that's typical. Jesus, it's almost 40 minutes. But oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you guys want to hang out, maybe we can do another show if you want to, but I won't let you. I won't keep you. So I'm going to... Oh, shit. I should be looking for my closing song. Oh, crap. I went to Wanda Wisdom. Now I'm lost. Lost my place. Ooh.
Thanks. I know a drink we did.
Yeah. Actually, I'm playing the theme song now. My theme song, not Wanda's theme song. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Simon. Thank you for sharing his very personal and very... good story, actually. If you want to check out his blog, you can go to my website and find that link, and also the other link that we talk about, that Bob guy, Andy and Bob guy. So thank you for listening. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Don't forget to smile. Ta-ta.